There's a lot of exciting things happening, and things that are so wonderful, so astounding. People are all shook up. There's people that's coming back to church that's been away for years. And I had a brother tell me the other night, he said, man, said, anybody can see this. And sure enough, they can. When I say that, they can't see the minute detail of it as the things that are really transpire, because the Bible said the wicked shall not see when the light cometh. When the good cometh, they are creatures of darkness and they cannot see in the light. But at the same time, they do see, people do see a lot of things. And of course, right here at this particular time of life, let us say, things is happening so baffling and it's so astounding until people are shook up around the world. For one thing, I'd made the statement, this is the midnight cry. This is the midnight hour. And if everything goes right, as I had said, then it will come to a complete blackout, like we spoke of that thing of the Pope coming, when it come to a blackout in the year 66, when New York went into total darkness, or thereabout. And now the spiritual application has come, and we have, allegorically, we have spoke of it and told how that some of these things would happen, and that there would be a midnight cry. And at the last hour, at the midnight cry, everybody would be shook up. Before, we'd made the statement that as to the things that's happening right now, that this thing would come to pass. And in the vision, we held on to the beard until the millennium came in. The fire and brimstone came, which I said had to do with that Star War, and that they would fight that battle from the air, which they did, and it would take Hussein by surprise because he expected a ground war. And then he had the vision where when they went in, that there wouldn't have much resistance as to the ground troops, because I'd saw it in a vision and they just give up, which they did, where my hand starved to death. And then seeing the vision where these unusual things that went over, standing on this side of the water, and looking across, I saw them as they come, and the oil wells and things begin to explode and begin to burst into flames, whatever it was that was exploding. And sure enough, they come up with these Tomahawk missiles, and maybe fired some just recently from the Kitty Hawk. But I said they looked like little unmanned planes, but they were too odd looking for that. So then we spoke about this thing of the fire and the brimstone, and where we were sitting at this oriental place, whereas Betty and I were over there doing the desert storm, and just outside the gates, not far away, was Babylon, and just kind of across from this thing like we'd seen it in the vision to some extent. When this creature reached down for this oriental person, and I caught him by the beard, and sure enough, being over there, God really gave us a message there inside the old walls of old Jerusalem for the people, because it was a mixed congregation, and took a miracle of God to give us what to say, because everybody was real edgy. And to me, being an American, it really made it rough. People paranoid, even the Jews, afraid to go out into the streets. And when this creature reached down, a tall, tall thing, like what they call Uncle Sam, when he reached down, I grabbed him by the beard, which I have to admit, I really have. Some of my people didn't like it too well when I grabbed him by the beard. But anyway, this thing that they call liberty and justice for all is a tyrant thing, and it's a horrible situation. And I grabbed it by the beard and it tried to get loose, and when it did, I tied it in a knot, so that it couldn't get its beard loose, and then it got furious with me. And so that when it tried to get loose, you know, I told you I lifted its feet, and I still held to its beard. And as it lifted its feet, it stretched out this way and couldn't get loose. And then it started spinning like this, trying to get loose. And it spun more and faster and faster and faster and faster. And higher and higher and higher and higher. And it stretched out longer and longer and longer, which I told you that I felt like that thing starting in America with the planes, got higher and higher. And I reached out farther till it involved all the countries with planes as to an air war. And with that, the fire and brimstone. And sure enough, when they went in this last time for the last siege, they said something 2 years ago has started to continue as it was, and said while they were having fireworks over here as to the administration, the inauguration, said they were having fire and brimstone over yonder. So they called it the same thing. But I saw this thing, you know, as the way that the Lord was going to do it. He had revealed it to me before the vision and confirmed it by the vision. And then I made the statement, I said, this next war will be a ground war. And it will be a ground war. And it will be a mass of people. It will be such a terrible mass of people. And we had made the statement that, if you don't mind me talking to you just a minute or two here, I had made the statement that this thing that happened would have a great bearing on Israel. Now, if I had about 5 hours tonight, we could give you just a little bit of it. I think the other day, I said about 5 hours, which it was one day, several hours another day, and hours another day. And today I spoke of 5 hours one day, and somebody corrected me and said, no, it was 8 hours. So it was 8 hours that the Lord was speaking, and most everything was the Lord speaking. And of course, when we're there, I don't run into problems like I do in the church, because we have minds of different levels here and strength as to spiritual strength. Some of them just little babies, and they get lost about the first round, and then their mind, a little spirit begins to idle. I don't mean little bitty children, even though we do have little children. Now, little children try to concentrate real good. But when I'm talking to those people that God has led off of the jobs and wherever, they're hungry, and they come back searching, and they sit down there. And when they do, they just give their spirits to Christ, their attention to the minister, and my spirit is given to Christ. And then the Lord begins to minister to where there's hardly a ripple in the water. It's so smooth for hours and hours and hours. So plain and just as clear. As Paul said, the Spirit speaking expressly. And it makes it so that within the period of, say, 5 to 8 hours, like Paul preaching all night, that you can bring out a tremendous thing as in a sequence. And everything just falls into a lovely continuity, or that is a continuance. And it is so beautiful that when you do this, the Spirit will take the heavenly world as to the spiritual things, and then He'll take our natural mind being acquainted with the natural things. Christ is mine acquainted with heavenly thing. And He will cause the human mind and the Christ mind to run an adjacence, and they're just this way. Like when Jesus appeared on the mountain, there was Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And then these were in glory. And then they're on the mountain in the natural, there was John and Peter and James. See, and these two had asked, remember, they had asked to sit one on the right hand and one on the left hand of Christ Jesus. And He said, this is given to whom God the Father will give it to. I don't have anything to do with that, Jesus said. Which, of course, they have to do with the covering cherub. And we could go through the Bible, I've done it with my wife, and show you where they're at. And they also are referred to the two olive trees or the two candlesticks. I said 7 candlesticks to the church ages and 2 candlesticks to Moses, as Moses and Elijah to Israel. Which means that when the tribulation period comes, the 2 candlesticks will come in, which is the covering cherubs. Paul said of these things as to the covering of His glory, which we cannot speak particularly. He said at His time, which is very clear in the day that we're living in. Well, anyway, I spoke of this because on the mountain you saw Him disappear. When they said Trinity, He said one, just one. And in the middle of the week, the Jews, having been following this under the Catholic thing, steal back to Trinity. All of a sudden, the 2 prophets are killed, and Jesus is standing there, 1 tabernacle. See, 1 as the Messiah. And all that ends as to the great whole, and the severally dividing as to the rending of the veil to reveal the Ark of the Covenant down through the church ages. And I just wish we had lots of time, you know, to go into that. Let me read this. I better read before I get to talking too much. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, start the first verse and read just a little bit of this. Let a man so count of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So then there is some mysteries of God. And over in the book of Revelation, we're told at the sounding of the last trump that these mysteries would be finished. And the disciples, as I remind you again, asked the question, Lord, why do you speak to these people in parables, those that are without, seeing that they understand not what you say? He said, for it is not given unto them to know the mysteries, but as to you, that is to say the church, and that there were the foundation of the city and the church, said it's given that ye should know the mysteries. Now, so then the question arises like this. When we say as to the mysteries of God, it is given that we should know the mysteries of God. What exactly is being said there? See, is he saying that there's a difference between the mysteries and the gospel? In that he said the gospel must be preached in all the world for a witness and to every creature before the end can come. And in our day, we've seen this happen. We've seen the gospel go around the world through satellite. We've done some satellite work ourselves. And through radio, television, that is, radio, and through the printed page, through missionary endeavors and crusades, all kinds of things. Testimonies, personal testimonies. So then we know that the end is close at hand. For it said, when the gospel has gone into all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. It has gone into all the world. Said, then shall the end come. And we made the statement that someday they would legalize sodomy. And when they did, that God would burn the world, and principally America. So the very day that Lot, being symbolic of the church, the very day that he went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and brimstone came. Because the Bible said that righteous man was vexed with their filthy conversation from day to day. So then Abraham took to the plains, Lot got mixed up in the city. Shows a vast difference between the church and the father of the faithful than Lot, which wanted to venture out, you know, and get caught in some things, which he didn't mean to do. But nevertheless, you know that how that right there during that night when those angels were down there, two of them visiting, just like those two prophets, down there visiting, and then Jesus under the oak of Mamre staying right there with Abraham, which indicated is to the church. And then fine brimstone being brought down upon those people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot got so afraid, he went and told all of his relatives. Abraham had pleaded the cause, got it down to 10, thinking at least it'd be enough with Lot's family that God would spare it. Couldn't even find that. And when Lot told his son-in-laws, they laughed and made a joke out of it. He sounded as one that mocked. And then these men came to the house and wanted to pounce on these two angels that had come, demanded that Lot bring them out. And Lot even offered his daughters as to be ravished and molested, afraid. It would take a lot of fear in a man to do that, to keep them from attacking those angels. But nevertheless, they still wouldn't be satisfied with that. Whole city was filled with filth and evil. And finally, the angels said, get out of here, Lot. Get out of here, said, take your wife, your daughters, and get out of here. And you know that how that with the four of them, how that it was that one of them looked back as to the wife and was turned to a pillar of salt. Anyway, in that place, the salt sea is there. Or that is the Dead Sea, they call it. And you remember how we spoke of James Isaac, how that when he went over and we went over, it was just a wilderness and just a salt sea. It was so salty until it was just thick. The water was just thick as salt. And James waded out and got close to some of the others. And the track on the faith fell out of his pocket. And I said, there's the healing of the waters right there. The Lord spoke to me. The faith. And his name, Isaac, the promised son. And sure enough, you know, since then, I told you how we went back and they turned it into a world spa. And now big, beautiful hotels built along the bank of it. And it's a fabulous thing. And now they're taking the minerals out of it. Big stores, fine stores, along where you can buy it in packages, all kinds of things coming out of there. They've discovered that there's more wealth, as is said, in the Dead Sea than all the rest of the world. Well, anyway, that's getting a little bit off of the theme of our thought here. But those things run into continuity in hundreds and thousands of things that God has revealed to us. But I want to stay somewhat within the realms of a present-day truth. Even that's just a few days past, as we'd say. It wouldn't be a present-day truth, but it's to the immediate, right, to that which is right at hand. So then we know that there is, as we said, back to the scripture, mysteries. And it's given unto you to know the mysteries. And things is taking place in such a great, wonderful, tremendous way, as in leaps and bounds. And sin is coming, it is so harsh. And sickness and plagues, all of the plagues are falling upon the people because of the increase of knowledge. Whereas he told about 3 million people, as to the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, he said, now keep my commandment, keep my charge, do thy diligence to do what I tell you to do, and I will not bring any of these plagues upon you that I brought upon the Egyptians. And the original rendering is, I will not allow these things to come upon you. And so, here we are in this day. And the Bible said all of those things happen for our admonition, as to be the admonishing of us who are here in the end of the world. I know a lot of people say, well, forgetting those things that are behind. But see, like I was telling the brethren yesterday, that means forgetting the garbage, forgetting the evil, forgetting the lust, forgetting all those things that are unlike Christ. Because even in these things, as to good things, they are a memorial unto us and our experiences with God. And looking back, these things admonish us. So then, they were our admonishing as to those people. The Bible said, these people upon whom the ends of the world have come. For Calvary was the end of the world. For in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to gather all things within Christ. And I explained to you how he did that. As this being like the waters of Noah to men, that the waters of Noah were typical, then he cut that place in the side. As Moses hid in the cliff of the rock, so then in the side went the Spirit. And out came the water and the blood. And so then we know that the blood and the water, if you believe in the blood and if you're baptized, you shall be saved. And so then, Peter brings this out as to a good conscience, even as those that were in the days of Noah, so many as ate, being saved by water, which was a like figure, whereunto baptism doth also now save us. So that is being crucified with Christ by Calvary, and then being buried in baptism with him, having put on Christ, being baptized into Christ Jesus, and then having been buried with him in water baptism, then it's evident that we are resurrected together in the newness of life. The old creatures passed away, and now we are a new creature, and we are in a new world. It's hard for you to fathom, but on this side of Calvary, there is a new world. And I say again, that's why that they crossed over from the old country in the days of Columbus, came over here, Christopher Columbus. His name goes back to Christ. And we brought it out concerning him, how he had to do exactly with Christ. The three things he asked for from Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand was exactly the same things that the Father promised the Lord Jesus. But anyway, in coming over here, then we see what they call a new world. And this new world represented heaven. Because at Calvary, when the veil was rent in twain, and crossing from the old world of the law and the prophets, the blood of bulls and goats, the Old Testament, then God brought a new blood, not as that of the beast, that Satan had contaminated, but he brought a new blood cell and a new generation, and said that Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God and the first brother of many brethren. So then we know that as we have went into this for 5 to 8 hours at a time, detailing and bringing around the revelation in its completeness, whereas here we just have to kind of hit in the midst, knowing in part or just a little bit here and there. So then, we understand that we have to go all the way back to the garden. And we'd have to bring out quite a lot of things concerning Adam and Eve just to get up to where the beginning of the creation of God come in. And then in doing that, we would have to explain where Adam fits in that he was in the beginning, and how that the illumination upon him made him a figure of that was to come, which was to be the beginning of the creation of God. And how that Adam only reflected and then fell, as to the Shekinah image in which he was made, and lost that image to the image of the beast. And how that Satan also, which is the powers of intellectual darkness, as to the tree of knowledge of both the good and evil, how that he was exposed to the good as a great light, like a mirror, reflecting the light that is, and getting lifted up because of the angels admiring him, the great admiration, and even to the strength that a third part of the angels rebelled against the light itself because of what they saw in Lucifer as he that was called the son of the morning, which goes back to Adam being the son of the morning. Adam was only the body of Lucifer. So then Lucifer had to have a body when he conceived iniquity as to be like God. And the Bible said the very time that he did that, then being the father of iniquity and a lie, all of a sudden the Shekinah left him as to the reflection, because God cannot look upon iniquity, and thus he became the ruler of the darkness, which means an intellectual as to a reflection, saying that light, if it's a light within you, if it be darkness, they do have a dark light. How, what is the greatness as to the depths of that darkness? So we know that from that came a second heaven as to reflection. It would take hours to go into that, to break it down, to bring us to where we are. As a matter of fact, just before I came to church tonight, I was talking some with my wife, and I was going to through the tabernacle and those things as to show the first, second, and third heaven, and where it was at as to this time, as to comparatively speaking. But anyway, in what we're saying, just giving a few scattered remarks and throwing a few things in tonight that would be concerning the mysteries of God. We are stewards of the mysteries. And great is the mystery, Paul said. And it's required of a steward to be faithful. So then in this, we see that Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. Not Adam, but Jesus. Adam in the beginning was called the Son of God. So we see the tie. How the image was lost as to the reflection. And the Shekinah remained, because the Shekinah was Christ. And Adam failed to go on into the understanding as to the tree of understanding, which was life, as to the illumination of his mind being made in that image. He could have chosen the tree of life, and he would never had his seed to go through the things that they've had to go through with. Eve, being part of his body, Adam was not in the transgression because he was in the illumination. And Eve, being the part of the body, wandered off. And she got interested in the tree of knowledge by hearing a voice that projected itself through the beast that was in the garden and brought her to a low level of communication with a beast. And inasmuch as they had been made on a beast level, as outside of the garden from the dust, then she related to that beast to that extent. See, and when Satan had his chance, being the ruler of the darkness, when God came forth and said, let there be light, then the light pushed this darkness away, and there was light. But that also brought Satan back into a place to where he could reflect that light and have an opportunity to enter into the beast. The beast having a soul, there is life in the beast. God had put life in the beast. And that's what you are. You are a beast by first birth. So you are a living soul. But the second man, Adam, as to the beginning of the creation of God, was that illumination of the image, which was Christ, that was lost when the body went one way and the light went another way. And the darkness confiscated the body, and it fell right back to the dust from where it was made. From the dust thou art taken, to the dust thou shalt return. And that's why at the grave they sprinkle a lot of little dust sometimes, from dust to dust. See, and with that, Satan then had himself a body. And he started him a generation. And he started that generation by the reflection of light, because he doesn't have any understanding himself. He is a creature of darkness. He is the ruler of darkness, which means intellectual ignorance. And the Bible speaks of that within people as the spirit of foolishness from the heart, even as a child. And this knowledge, not understanding, but this knowledge, it rebels against understanding because it's ignorance. And the Bible said you are blinded by that ignorance that is within you. And when this great light comes, that is to the return of the Shekinah image in which you were made. When it returns to the evening time, the Bible says after Calvary of them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death, which it had extended, we say, as from evening till morning, and then it was the first day. And a day is 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years as a day. And so then coming on down to the 2,000 years, as to the ark, it was a symbolic thing. And then 2 more days, as we would say. And then it's the breaking of that morning light in the morning, I will despise thy image, because it is the image of iniquity. And with the prophecy that came as to Daniel, 490 years determined upon thy people, which is the Jews, then that means from that time, it was to extend over till the morning, and then that was to be the morning as to the first day of light with the beginning of the creation of God, in that the veil of night was rent, taken away, which meant the intellectual veil of death that had fell upon the mind of Adam, coming through the weakness of the flesh, which was the feminine part, which really, as I've said before, Eve represented humanity, which is the feminine part. And Adam represented the spirit because of the illumination, and he was pure and not in the transgression. And when the transgression took place and he partook, as from Eve, the Lord letting Jesus, as to the fall, go with the church to take on the same image, that in that he might provide for the church, and that among the thorns. You understand what I mean about the crown? So we just have to go through this and leave out hundreds of things. But just picking up a little thought here and there. See, and you'll just have to fit the puzzle together as the Lord gives you the pieces. So then we see that it come on down to Christ Jesus, and that Christ that was lost all of a sudden came through a blood sale to a divine conception as to a virgin and then a body. And he took on the form of a servant. And as much as the Bible teaches that the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he partook of the same. And then we go back, as I say so often, to the Greek word. And there are such words as nikeho and whatever. It indicates that he partook, but not all. That is, he partook of the bones, he partook of the flesh, but not the blood. So he partook, the children partook, so he partook. And he came in the image as to the body of the form of a servant. And he brought new life. And from the manger all the way to the Mount of Transfiguration, he walked until he perfected the body, which was the church. And it went right up into glory. He stepped as to the expulsion, as restored back to that Adam lost. And he stepped out just like Adam did as to the loss. After he had perfected the church, put it between the covering cherub, he stepped out. And when he stepped out, he left, that is, the Ark of the Covenant. There, as he went around this way, then he come by Calvary. He died for you and I to be the sinful body, this image of that there was the fallen as the first man, Adam. And then smiting that, God pouring out his wrath on it when he cried out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" See, it already perfected the church, which means we don't have to go by the way of Calvary. See, we don't have to go by the way of death. Though it's taken us a long time to learn, we're gods. But you die like men from the lack of understanding. That is, the understanding of who you are has to be tutored to come to this, that you might believe in what you're told, in that the Word is what creates all things. The same yesterday, today, and forever, God being made flesh, which means you become gods as the membership of that body, and you cannot die. So I say again, God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, loosed them that was appointed unto death, and succored them at a time appointed, which was Calvary. Because we're all appointed unto death. In the day that thou eatest death, thou shalt surely die, and your body have the sentence of death. And God, hearing the groaning of the prisoners through the fasting, the prayer, whatever, then he loosed them. He loosed those prisoners. And when he loosed them at Calvary, to make sure that we thoroughly understood all of those that died under the law, not having received the promise, in that the promise to Abraham was the promised seed that would come in the fullness of time. Here he comes, made of a woman under the law, and it was the fullness of time. Thus it ended time as to day and night. Joshua, thus crossing over the Jordan, commanded the sun and the moon to stand still as one eternal day. And this was the day in which they won the battle. So then Moses is Jesus being left behind. And Christ is Joshua coming into our heart. See, so we know we're living in the day and the era of light. And darkness is now past. No more daylight and dark to us. It was, as from evening until morning, that is, under the veil of the law, and the veil that was over Moses' face, and that veil that Paul said, having received the revelation, looking back, being a Jew, looking at his people, he said, and this veil remaineth over the minds of the people. That is that thing that come over the mind of Adam when he failed there. And this mind is the intellectual darkness. It remains over the mind of the people, even until this day, as over the face of Moses. See, and in this, Jesus came as that veil, that intellectual veil that covers the spiritual man, because it went from the dust to the spirit, and when he fell, it went from the spirit back to the beast part, which is the creature. And so then when Calvary come, he rent the veil and went back to the spiritual man. And the second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And he smote the image of the veil that it stood between the inter-spiritual Son of God and God. Peter said this within the tabernacle. And Paul said, beloved, already, as to the inner man, already ye are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what ye shall be as to the change of what this heavenly treasure on the inside of these earthen vessels shall make you to be, as the glory Shekinah of that Christ that was on the mountain before he stepped down to come to Calvary to pay your price of sin and death. See, it does not yet appear, because you wait until the coming of what we call the adoption, as to the law coming back in, 483 and over, and then the law comes back with the Jew. And then the body is adopted in. The man inside is born in, has the spiritual sons. And the carrying of the child is to the woman, but the woman's benefit is according to the hope of glory within, as to the child. That this light, as to the Shekinah, might be made manifest in the mortal genes, eradicating the darkness as to the light bulb when the light breaks out and the environment brings the millennium. So that at Calvary, this grace confiscated took everybody into the scope of grace. Thus they were gathered into the ark of the body of the Lord Jesus. Grace, 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 the stone cry. So everybody, everywhere, is within the grace, which means that from that 483 over to the 7, the last week of Daniel, that is heaven. That is heaven. Now, it looks like you're going to listen for just a few minutes, and the spirit seems to be right for your hunger, so we're going to say just a few things. I don't know how far we'll go. Look back in the Old Testament now. You have your outer courts. Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher, and these things have to be taught. All be taught of God. So look at the Old Testament and you will find your outer courts. We have this on tape somewhere as to the outer courts, how many posts was there. We even bring it out as to the sockets and the brass and all those things. We bring it out. We have it on tape somewhere. The tabernacle, the skins and everything in there, even the measurements of them. See, so you look back and there you have the tabernacle. And then you have a fence around it. And the fence is called the outer courts. And outside of that fence, the beast's bodies were burned, and the dung, as to the kalah, part of the ma, as to the ashes of the red heifer, which means like outside of the gates of Jerusalem, just outside of Damascus gate is Golgotha. And there Jesus, being our sin, as to the beast's body, becoming that we might become the saints of God. Then he was burned by the consuming fire of God as the big brazen altar of the evening time. See, was inside of the fence, then outside it was the burning of the bodies and the dung, which means God rejecting the Gentiles as beasts and their intellectual, educational reasoning that he calls dung, that he washes out of the people, saying that all of your knowledge is foolishness to me. And by knowledge of men, they knew not God when God was in the world and the world was made by him. And they still don't know him today. So it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching, men should be saved. So then we see in the Old Testament, we see this out of court. It was there at the gate that when these beasts came in, the priest would lay his hands on them and then he would knife them to death. So then they were killed. And then the inner part was taken. There had to be so much that was burned on the altar here. And some of this was taken as to be cooked and be taken into the tabernacle. The tabernacle in the outer courts was this big brazen altar where this fire, it could never go out. It had to always burn. And this big brazen altar represents Calvary as to that of the evening time, and the fire represented God, the consuming fire, whereas the Bible said, and in the lake of fire, where the worm is to the body, dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So it's ever a consummation of God upon the wicked. But no, our God is a consuming fire. So then we know that Jesus was the Lamb of the evening time as to the offering. And he told the Jews, he said, search the scriptures as to the scrolls, the Old Testament. For in these scriptures, he said, you think you have eternal life. That is the scribings of the scribe. And these, in these, you think that you have eternal life. He said, but you need to search these. Said, because these, he could have said scribings, these are they that testify of me. Or these scriptures, these scribing, all these were allegoric. They were pointing to me. The ox, the lamb, all these things were allegoric. And if you revelate them as to moving the veil from the minds to see what it was, then you'll see the pillar file of the tabernacle. You can see it so beautiful and see the tabernacle. And as the Bible said, the Spirit had many, many things to say unto us, but we're dull of hearing. But these things, all of these things have been revelated to me so very carefully, so very precisely. And all of these things, even to the layers of the skin on the tabernacle and what it had to do with. See, so outside of this tabernacle fence, which was the outer court, then there was the burning of the beast's body. Then this that was to be burned on the altar was burned, as to the wrath of God upon Jesus. And then there were certain parts, as to say, when the blood was put over the doorpost down in Egypt, before they crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness, then they had to take the lamb, certain parts, and they had to eat it all through the darkness of what we say the intellectual night is, as in our day while we're feeding off of the lamb. Take, eat my body, drink my blood. Stay within your house. Don't let your spirit wander out into the world and into the darkness, because the death angel is moving. And all through the night, he's going to be killing that firstborn, that one of Adam, born of Adam. I'm going to kill him with death. And death is moving, and everybody's on death row, waiting their turn. Jesus has taken our place and took us off of death row, and he's hid us. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and are saved. Or that is within this little house, Peter said. If this house be dissolved, we had another one as a temple eternal in the heavens, not made with hand. So then stay within your house during the darkness. Paul said, I keep under this body within this house. I bring it into subjection, lest after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. And so then we could go on all the way to Canaan. But the thing is, the angel was passing through the night, and it was said, when I see the blood, that is to say the new covenant, I will pass over you. Mine would take hours to go into those things. But I said that just to bring it up to this place outside. The bodies were burned. Now, that was taken into the tabernacle. The tabernacle was in two parts, like a 20 and a 10, or a 10 by 10. See, and going into this tabernacle, the veil as to the covering cherubs of these curtains that the ladies made had to do with those covering cherubs as to Moses and Elijah. And beyond that, in this 10 by 10, remember you're standing in the tabernacle, which is the holy place. And when the cherubs are moved back, like at Calvary, rent in twain, Moses and Elijah. Moses over here, the prophet like unto, behold Elijah at the end of the church ages. I send you Elijah the prophet. Rent, separated. And then when the seven come back to the 483, here comes your cherubs back together. Seeing the door to the Gentiles is closed. That's the door that Peter opened at the beginning of the church ages. It's still open at the end of the church ages. The church goes up, John being a symbol as to the beloved disciple, and then it closes. And then the tribulation period. Seeing Moses and Elijah's back together. So we understand what they're telling us by the symbols. When these curtains was rent, it could only be rent by the high priest. And Jesus being the high priest, that is, as Aaron was going in, offering what he offered, could never make the conscience of the believer perfect. And so then when Jesus did what he did, he entered into our heart, the very holiest of holies, as to the place of life with the new blood, as to royal blood within us, the kingdom of God within us, Christ coming back through his body, sanctified it, went away, and would take hundreds of things as fillers in between to bring it to that point of discussion. But anyway, as to what we are saying, this body is the tabernacle in the wilderness. Intellectual wilderness. But we have another one eternal in the heavens, which is the body of Jesus Christ. That not made with him, that's the temple. See, the resurrected, delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Calvary being the open door, then ye already in the sight of God, as to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, which means that new creature, which means that temple of God. For the Bible said, ye are the temples of God. And God dwells in you, and he walks in you, and he talks in you. And the tabernacle of the wilderness ends with the Jews as to go around through the darkness as that sixth seal of Revelation. When the stars fall from heaven, as the tree shaking her untimely figs. That's what happened at Calvary. Again, hundreds of things would have to be said. Great is the mystery. But some of these things, fragmentally speaking, we've got it on tape in different places. So I just have to run over here and say a few of these things, knowing that that would throw you clear off trail. But we're trying to bring a continuity of some things that kind of hold your mind together to give you a little bit of sequence of things. We know then that they went into the second place. Really, the first place is to the tabernacle. But the second, in that there's an outer court, went into an inner court. And then beyond that was this little divided area, the 10 by 10, the holies of holies, and that's where the ark was. That was the ark. We bring it out on tape somewhere, exactly what was in every one of them, all three. Now, you got a first heaven, it's the outer court. It's separated from the rest of the world. And then you got a second heaven, it's in the inner courts, where the priests went to. And then you got a third heaven in the holies of holies, where the high priest alone has gone. Even Christ Jesus. And taking his own blood there. So beautiful as we brought some things out to our sister Betty today. As to this cloud, this word, the coal off of the golden altar. Find it in Revelation 8. And then the censer as to the perfume that nobody could make any like. Which meant the prayers of the saints. Find it in Revelation 8. And then when this word of God is to this hot coal dropped in the censer, as he walked in beyond the curtains, this great cloud would billow up. And when it billowed up like that, the rainbow was seen in it as to the covenant. Because as to these things, as to the high priest, the Urim Thummim up here, as to the two candlesticks of the two prophets, as to the jewels, and then the breastplate, are these things that was as to the adorning representing the foundation of the city as to the apostolic foundation that Christ laid the high priest. Then it was as to the high priest, the sons of Jacob, as to each stone, as to each son, as to each tribe. And so then when this beautiful smell went up, this beautiful cloud went up, and the little bells ringing that was on the garments and holy son of the Lord across the mitre up here, and the many things that he had that had to do with the revelation of Christ, the holies of holies, he entered right into the holies of holies, the presence of God itself, took the blood and put it on the seat of atonement, that mercy seat that was in between the cherubs on top of this little ark that they had made to symbolize the ark that Noah had and the little ark that Moses was saved in. That is to the bulrush. So that was the ark of the covenant. That is the ark of the rainbow. This was the covenant. And the covenant was, of course, the wings that come over the covering cherubs with their beautiful wings as it were tip to tip. So then, all of these things being allegoric are spiritually discerned as to the revelation. Then I just go back as to drop in a natural thought as to this formulated thing that we might in time to come look and see the spiritual significance and the great revelation. Because those natural things are given as to the Jews and to the world. They're the head of the nation. But as to Christ, as to the church, we're the head of all nations as well as the Jews and the head of all of those that feel eternity. Even the angels have to do obeisance to us as the body of the Lord Jesus. So, we know then that Christ has come for us. And we know then we are the body of the Lord Jesus. And that these things are spiritually done to us. And that what Jesus did as capstoning what Moses and all of the Israelites had done was the finishing of that pyramid city. And we know that the Jews rejected that. What is this? The builders have rejected the stone that has become the head of the corner. And they don't receive that stone as the Jews, though we receive it as the Christ capstone, the invisible, beautiful, celestial city that is within that veil, which we see coming down in the new earth. See, and it's unveiled at Calvary. The veil is rent. It's taken away. But they don't accept it. We accept it, and Christ capstone it for us. So now the beautiful foundations are laid. The beautiful stones, remembering you as I make up my jewels, and the light of that city, most precious as the jasper stone light, even the Lamb who is the light thereof, or the revelation, which is understanding. See, and it won't come to pass until the circumcision, which is the eighth day, or the 6,000 years, and then the seventh of rest, and then taking away all of that that's natural, and then the celestial world will come in, where the celestial people will have their regime, and Christ, as to the Son, reign until all things is put under His feet, and He turns it back to the Father, even that great light which appears when everything vanishes away but you and I, as that which is within that light, even the body of the Lord Jesus. That is with the understanding. All things as to a second heaven which is made by knowledge, as to the tree of knowledge, it vanishes away. And then the Jews become celestial. We're already celestial, having caught up before the tribulation period. And a lot of pros and cons as to premillennials, postmillennials. Somebody said, well, will we go through the tribulation? I told you no. First of all, we cannot, because we return in Revelation 19 after the tribulation. We return on white horses. How can we come out of heaven if we haven't gone to heaven? So then we're already in heaven. See, but it was to be made known to us through the tutoring of the seven church age messengers. Now, see, when we say the seven church age messengers, just to drop a thought or two, the angel standing in the middle of the week, hands raised to heaven, time no more, that's really Calvary. That really has to do with Christ. They don't know Him as Messiah, so they call Him the great angel. Now, He's everything in earth, the waters, the seas, everything in heaven, that is to say, the comprehend, the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. And as a six-pointed star, He's standing there. Whereas in America, the woman, five-pointed star. Some of you understand what I'm saying. But anyway, there He is with His head up in the heavens. That's Christ Jesus' head. There at the throne, like here, the candlesticks. Here, I brought it out from the candlesticks, the seven church age messengers, which is the seven spirits of God. And they're coming down as this great thing that I spoke of, the stone, the capstone is to the Christ. And the reason for that, grace, 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 capstone, all of it, to finish the city as to all that God was going to do through Moses. And then when it was smitten, esteemed him smitten of God, which means the light struck the prism as to the stone. And it was rent in twain, that is to say, as to the light from the solid, or the potentiality of energy taken over here, and then that solid is over here. So the Bible said, in this light being made manifest in your mortal genes, which is the heavenly treasure that you already have in the earthen vessels, or that is to say the mind of Christ, the light that brought all things to pass, in that everything emanated from the light. So then when that was smitten by the light, then the light refracted through this prism. And when it refracted through the prism, then the spectrum came as to the rainbow's colors. And then from there, as to the prophet likened to Moses, the body being smitten all the way over the church ages, here is the rainbow protecting the ark of the invisible body of Jesus Christ, whereas the ark had been taken away of the body and of the two prophets. And the Ark of the Covenant is yonder, as to the blood of Christ on the seat of atonement, and the Jews cannot find it. And they'll never find it until the church ages is over. And then when he returns, they'll find that little wooden ark that's hid away, that apparently was hid away back there in the time of Jeremiah. So when the two prophets come, of course, Moses naturally will know where it's at. And of course, Elijah. So then that means that this covenant as to the bridge over, as to the mercy, and the ark caught up into heaven, just like it was with the waters, rides over all of these things as to the 483, the 7, all the wrath, all of the garbage, all of the sin. Wish we had time to go into that, is about sin. So then as this go over, then that means that we're riding over. It's a heavenly thing. And we're caught up during that period in the body of Jesus Christ. Going over, over. And we don't have time to detail as we have in the past how all those things, even the creeping things, was caught with that body, him being made sin. So when this went over, then it was the 7 church age messengers that tied us over. Which means as to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like Jacob's ladder. Or you can't see light as scientists say, so it was attributes of God in color, the 7 spirits of God. God presented himself to us in Mesha, Christ delivered from the dead. We bring that out. We brought it out to my wife as to the Old Testament feasts and different things. That comes to Mesha. But anyway, here they are from that throne. These are beaming down through the church ages. And they fall in a sequence like 1, 2, 3, just like in the spheres, like they're stacked. So they come down as 1, 2, 3, coming on down. And they come down, and it is God, the great light, revealing himself through a man's natural intellectual ability to speak. And you catch it with your brain as to the vibrations that comes to your listening ear. And then like the shell, as to the peanuts, you crack it. That goes away, and then it goes down into the heart as to energy, and becomes faith and life down here on the inside. So proportionally, it's been taught down through the church ages. At the end, it's to be compound as the full covenant, as the 7-fold light. Because really, not a 5-fold ministry, a 7-fold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, then helps and governments. That brings in the ladies, all those that can help, the helpmate, and also brings in such things as deacons and whatever. And so then those as to the colors of 5 having the preeminence, they're the more in the affirmative. But it comes on down, and sure enough, Jesus is standing in the midst of the candlesticks at the church ages, which means that Paul was Christ, and the veil was now gone as to Peter that went out as to the veil and the Trinity. Of that is to the church. We take a long time to go into this. We're just fragmentally speaking and not even bringing out as to what it would take after that to bring out the present day truth as to the application. And so then, the battle between the two covering cherubs, or that is to say, as between Jesus and the Christ, in that the body of Jesus had been made sin, and the Christ holding the standards, and the Christ smiting the body. And this as to protect the woman, which was the body, to the temple. And to bring it through the purging, as to the wilderness, to the purification, after the child, as to the Christ, was born in that he said, the third day I'll be perfected, or the Christ will have matured fully in me, and then will come the rent veil, as to the opening of the matric and the birth of the child. Especially as to the head caught up, and then through the church ages, as to the opening of the door, all the matric to bring the rest of the body, as down to the end, as to the 10 toes, and as to the godliness of purity, as to the church age messengers, physicians, as to bring forth the child. So then, that means that the door was open. Everything is heaven. The scope was there. Everybody, even Satan, is in heaven. He's shown in the book of Revelation in that last 7 years. And the battle is in heaven. And that was Calvary, as to the end of the world. And Jesus said, I come to destroy or make an end of the works of the devil. Whereas he did at Calvary, sickness, suffering, poverty, all these kind of things. And then he said, not only that, but I help Satan fall as lightning from heaven, as to the war in heaven with the clouds and whatever. See, and lightning coming down. And he fell from heaven, and that's where you have your light now, as to the symbolic, which means Satan again is to knowledge. And this natural light that you go by. All symbols. So then it's the Benjamin Franklin thing. Remember the kite, the string, the key, the open door in heaven. So it means that there is a heavenly atmosphere a heavenly place, that this is heaven, and those things is coming down from the throne as the church age messengers, and that's the rainbow as to the covenant to you. God put a rainbow in my cloud, or in my spirit, as to my heart. Christ within you, the hope of glory, the mind of Christ. And all down through there, it is Paul as to the Christ. And the battle between Paul and Peter, there we blame Peter to his face. And then the Trinity starting as crucified upside down and going out. Satan, get thee behind me. And then the first Pope. And then Lucifer is in the earth with the powers of Catholicism and coming all the way over here through that wilderness of intellectual darkness called the Dark Age, the Jews wandering through that, the Holocaust, and then as Martin Luther comes over here to the Reformation, as to the Protestant, which was shown by Martin Luther King and the people coming as far as the Jordan, and right there is where I said it, that would end it as to Martin Luther King, and it was ended. And I said he has to do with the typical thing of Moses. And sure enough, they published the piece in the paper after his death, Black Moses, come to the mountaintop. I said he'll come up, he'll look, can't go in. And then, of course, happened after the others, those that took it to bring on the Joshua perspective and come on in to the Canaan as to their right. As I said, in one perspective, the black man shows Moses and the Jews coming out of bondage. In the other perspective, it shows Satan and darkness covering the whole world. And with the white man, it shows in the light of his body the church and the glory of God. And then in that, as to the perspective of the darkness, it shows the beast as born as a beast image and as the beast with 666. So then we know that everybody is a beast, irregardless to color, nationality, whatever, it shows that they are beasts. And all the world wonders after the beast, as to that of the flesh. Satan saves the beast of the flesh. And we'll head up just like the church. See, so the Jews will head up in Jesus. The Gentiles will head up in the beast. And the church will head up in Christ. So then we know for a surety that the church ages is now coming to an end. Because the woman has fled. Where is America, the woman? She's emphasized the footprints on the moon. Revelation, it is said as to Jews, as to the body, representing that, as to going out, the body being dead, and God alive for the spirit, caught up into heaven, and heaven where is the angels. And then when the body perspective comes back in, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead as the body coming back in? We'll no longer be dead, but we'll have our body as to life. See the resurrection, and it'll be made known as to the adoption, the change in a moment in the twinkle of an eye. So it's very obvious that we're moving now as to the end of the church ages, the end of the woman age, the end of this new world. And now we're coming to the end of it. I said when Mr. Clinton went to office, I said this will split things right down the middle, cause the church to pull out, separation of church and state coming back to its originality. And the church, the true church, has done all this compromising. So as I said, they would be asleep at the midnight cry. All of them was asleep. See, and I said the church, the false church, as to this thing not being able to tell the difference, except you be elect. Would you see the elect if possible? Not possible, because of discernment. So then it's very evident that God at this last minute, 6,000 years will be over at the end of this year. That is deleting the seven for tribulation, as to the Gentiles. So then that means that this is the midnight cry. And Clinton has come in just long enough to shake everything up, to make God's people back out from that, come out from the world, come out from the world and be a separate people. Like somebody heard a couple of men talking over the restaurant, one said to the other, said, I'm not a saint. Said, but this thing ain't right about this man Clinton. Said, I read in the Bible, and said, it tells us that we're not to be like that. And how is it that we got this man in there? And he began to comment as to what he thought about people voting for that man. Well, anyway, they're already talking about impeaching him. And they say, as we told you, that it would be rent right down the middle. Still a danger of him getting killed yet. Yeah, Kennedy come before me every time that I thought about it. And that is a day or two ago. And see, all of a sudden, that deadly wound healed, is Kennedy. All of a sudden, that Elvis Presley thing coming back. And as that stamp and that seal, and following that seal, then they come out with another stamp, it's Shepherd caught up, which shows that catching up. Now, going to legalize sodomy? I said, when they do, God will burn the world. the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lot, the very day he went out. And they say that he made the statement that he was going to sign it, whether they allowed him to or not. He was going to sign it. As to lift the bands off of the band off of the gates. I made the statement. I said, America is going to put up with this. There'll be godly people that will rise up. And this is going to split it right down the middle. And the news carried it. It's the report that I got. Said this has split America right down the middle. And now people are rising up. And they said, outside of two people in Georgia, they said all of the leaders, as to those of the government, senator, whatever, rose up against that thing of Clinton. And that he told them, as to the senators rising up, whoever, whatever, he was still going to sign it. And it indicates that the midnight cries here, that intellectual darkness as to the veil of Lucifer has taken over. And the church has been pushed out and the light is gone, which means the children of God lifted out. Like I said, take a lot of time to go into that about Bush and these things. Then that means if it's midnight, that's the darkest part. That's the darkest part. Now, it can't get no darker than the filth of the flesh to Sodomy. That's the abyss. Gone down to the depths. He's opened the bottomless pits because the midnight has come. Gross darkness has covered the people. And he's forcing his way in just like I told him. And he's broke one promise right after another. One promise for he hadn't been interested. The report came today, said he hasn't shown any interest in those things as to the report, but said he's been burning like a fire concerning these gays and doing something for these gays. And it's got even the Senate shook up. And the Georgia's boys, they rose up. Whereas if you remember, Brother Branham saw that thing of that cave and it had to be uncapped. And he said when he saw it in the vision, it was the Georgia boys that uncapped it. That means that with these things that are taking place, he's forcing the issue. Put the schools out, but he's putting his daughter in a private school. Now he's come down on them. The only interest he has is the gays, the frolic, the good times, the money. And instead of bringing the economy up, we spoke about it and we made the statement, said there will be a great famine as to our depression. And though it would kind of go to and fro like a rocking chair, yet it wasn't going to be over. And nobody will do anything about it until Antichrist comes. And he'll make craft to prosper. Now, I know how he will make it to prosper. And all of a sudden, Mr. Clinton has come in with all kinds of problems. And they said that is the worst week of his life. Everything has gone wrong. Sears has folded up in such a way that it's almost pathetic, which we said God would get them because they started off collecting the pennies of the poor man and they got more haughty, till they got the highest building in the world. And we speak of the searing of the conscience with the hot iron and how it had to be brought down with their nude statues and everything. I remember when they come out as a boy and they led the way for all the filth. See, and now they're falling. Really falling. See, and then IBM, which was contrary, we spoke of them. You remember a little thing come up, Brother Frank, from King Street, and how that we had them to have the leaders of IBM have to come out here and give us public apology. See, and now they say that they have taken a nosedive, and others seem to be on their way. And I think one of the things is that the people are getting scared half to death. Mr. Bush had things on the rise, and it was going up. But the famine wasn't over. Because I told him, I said, when I saw this thing, as I saw that of the great drought, you remember how it came to pass? I said, and I saw this famine, it was so great. I said, until the people didn't have anything to eat, though our people were still of a good cheer, they were still of a good spirit. And I was there with them. I saw David Paul, and he and I got in the car and started up the road. And then the vision was shown that I was going to have to call on God from heaven. First team have any food, as it was in the days of the wilderness. And with this, we started up a road, and the military, whoever it was, stopped us because the road was blown all to pieces, and it was just in great big heaps, rolls of the black that was on the roads, and then big chunks of clay. And we couldn't get by. So they wouldn't let us get by because there was no way to go. And then the vision went away. I told you the other night, it's been in the last several nights, I had a vision. And the people, I saw the people. They're very religious. And I tried to talk to them. They split right down the middle. And with that, one part of them would not listen. And then I turned to the other part. They wouldn't listen either. Even though they all were religious, they were going after their own things. And they wouldn't listen. I said, well, it's going to be bummed. I said, they're going to bum the place. Y'all going to get bummed. But they paid no attention at all. Didn't even register with them. And I told my wife again today, I said, America is going to be bummed. As sure as you live in this world, they signed that thing and everything's going to be right in there for God to bring the fine brimstone just like it fell over yonder on Hussein. And always remember, you have to reap what you sow. And Mr. Reagan sowed those things over there, so the bombing, it killed women and children. And when Mr. Bush sowed them over there, killed people. Now then the reaping time is coming. And they're going to drop them on America. Never done that before. Why? The only thing they've ever come to is Pearl Harbor. And at that time, if they'd have come on in as to the Japanese, they'd have took America because we wasn't even prepared to fight them. And Roosevelt made the statement then, never again will they catch America unprepared. And he started. Of course, it wrecked the world because women went on job and everything else and homes went to pieces. Got great militant power now, but no virtue. God's leaving us. Because everybody has gone harlot or whoremonger. Or they've turned sodomite. And America's become Sodom. So God's withdrawn. And Mr. Clinton, who thought he could handle the thing, coming in his inauguration with his horn and playing the song, Mother Can't Dance and Daddy Can't Sing Rock and Roll, which was something of Elvis Presley. For a president, that's the way he come in. The old wobbling of the serpent to be cast out that had corrupted the world. So then that means that with that thing coming in like that, the whole world is ready for the fire and brimstone just a little longer. And that means that the church is ready to get out of here, because in this year he has set in to corrupt the nation and bypass everything. Satan is a liar and the father of it. And I've got a page about this long, I don't think I'm exaggerating, about like that I'd say, and just about like that. And the whole thing in columns is promises. The whole thing are the promises that he made. And one of the men on the television said, we're marking them out. He's failed to make this and failed to make this and failed to make this. And we're going down the line and we're watching every one of them that he's not keeping. And of course, there's people like Jerry Falwell, other people. There's some real true Americans and other people that have stirred up. I got the report that just recently, 7,500 Pentecostal churches, that the word went out to them, you'll get rid of your televisions and you'll do away with your bathing suits. How authentic this is, I don't know as to the precision of words here. But nevertheless, you'll stop this frolicking and chopping the hair off and wearing pants and all these things, or you'll turn in your license. And of course they say that some of the ministers are rebelling against it. But what is it? What does it spell to us? It spells the midnight cry. The darkest hour is just before the dawn, whether he come at the midnight or the cock crowing. And so then when this thing went down to the final analysis, to the pit, to open the bottomless pits, as to this degradation of evil, so then it is at that 12 o'clock thing that morning sets in, which means the dividing asunder to the rent veil, and that the church with its light as to the morning pulls away from the shadows of the night, and that the last final impacts of the night is at that midnight cry, and that in the morning is to this light showing, then there'll be war in heaven. That is, this is still a heavenly perspective. As long as God allows the church to be here, now the separation and the war, anybody could get their brains blown out or anything that's going to happen, and especially as to a diplomatic approach as far as they can go with it. The war is there, and the clouds are now coming together, the dark and the light, the hot and the cold, and they're coming together. And Jesus said, I would that you were hot or cold, because you come together as to that, it is lukewarm. All of my tables are filled with religious vomit, he could have said. And I've spewed you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. So you can't eat at the table of devils. That is, go after the world, the intellectual side, having the love of the world in you, and go after the things of God. You can't do that. See, you can be very You can be filled with darkness and be very religious, but you can't be filled with light and be very darkness. You can't do that as to evil. So then that means that something is happening that we do not have time to explain. Wish we could, but so many things are happening until right now people are really upset. And some are saying, if it's war, bring it on. If it is the judgment, bring it on. Said we're tired, worn out. As the Bible said, and Satan will wear out the saints of God, and then he'll rise and take the kingdom with this new light coming in. Because this is the birth of the babe. But wish we had a lot of time to say something about that, the flags and the different thing. But anyway, they said ain't nothing left anyway. It's the attitude they're taking. We're ready to get it on and do what has to be done. So that means that people are restless, folk. The woman's going into a wilderness. The child has been caught up. This is the catching up of the child. See, when you come to Revelation, the child's getting his eyes open, caught up into the third heaven, going into that holiest of holies, joining itself with the head as to the priest. The priest's body as to the high priest, that's the child. See, and the woman, as to the religious perspective of it, which we'd have to say a lot of things even concerning Israel there, then she's going into wilderness. She don't know what's happening. The church world, they can't figure out what's happening. Like the 7,500 Pentecostals. They're trying to ask for the old past. What does it mean? It means that the midnight cry is here. And the cry has gone out. All of them have gone asleep. And the watchmen on the walls are crying out, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Arise, light your lamps. And some of them that went out, that was caught, even as babes, caught in this charismatic, this idolatrous, rebellious thing of witchcraft, and this sodomy, and this compromising of money and houses and prestige and all of this evil that God calls vomit. Caught in it, they're still little sheep. And they're going to come back, they're going to wake up and see they've been deceived. And they're going to come back as children looking for the parents, the little maid that's listening for the bridegroom. She's going to rise up and light her lamp because she's got all. But the others, they're going to come in and they're going to say, our oil is gone. Give us of your oil. But they're going to say, the revival's over. The pouring out of a spirit, no more. It's not on the just and the unjust. All we have is what's within us, just enough for our lamp. And then they'll go to seek the oil as to whom would have the oil, saying, and the voice said, go buy from them that hath oil. And when they go, there won't be no light left except the Jews. That'll be that little light as to the natural Ark of the Covenant. The reflection of that great light will be gone. They won't have any second heaven. They won't have any light. Satan can't be in heaven because being in the body of them that had grace, they have no more grace. So he is cast out as to his image and the beast's body. And everything is gross darkness, which means intellectual ignorance. And of course, we'd have to say a lot. It's the middle of the week. And what happens is to that gross darkness? What will be like that? And we can't do that tonight. So that means that if the midnight is here, coming at the cock crowing, coming at midnight, who knows? If it is at that time, then that means there's a dividing asunder to the rent veil, split right down the middle. The spirit from the body, and when the spirit goes out, that means that the spirit goes this way and the body goes this way, so the government is dead. All them people are dead in trespasses and sin while they live, and their light's gone out because they had the knowledge of truth, and now there's no hope for them, and the light will withdraw from them. God cannot go back to them the second time. He can't do that. They would crucify Christ Jesus anew and afresh to give them a new atonement. He could never do that. So then now there's nothing for them to look forward to except the fire indignation as to the wrath of God, as to that divine, his adversaries. And remember, the wrath comes at the end of the week or at the beginning of the week. The devastation as to the earthquakes, the pouring out of the vials, the cities, as to the nations crumbling, don't come till the last of the week. But Jesus in the middle of the week will bring that 7 to the 483 capstoning as to what the Jews rejected, that what we received is Christ. And then they will recognize the Messiah, and he'll capstone all that of Moses. They rejected him to start with, but he'll appear in the middle of the week, and that 7 will capstone the 483, which will bring the end of the world, bringing in the millennium. So then that means that Satan will be out and woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he'll be among you. And the Lord in the middle of the week, He'll cut down the vine, that's the old grapevine, gather all of the nations into the valley of blood, which is called the breadbasket of the world, saying more battles have been fought there than any other place in the world. More blood spilled. And the blood to the horse's bridle, 1,600 furlong. We coming back on the white horses, the woman for times, time and half time, the middle of the week, shield from that era of darkness that's pouring out of the vials, which is God's wrath, on the Antichrist, going around and coming back to us there as we come back, the spirit to the body, and Jesus rising, fighting for Israel, bringing back Calvary. And that means that things are shaping up as the first of the week, and it said, and the great day of his wrath has come. Sixth seal opens like a scroll. We will not go any farther as to try to explain, because that so many hundreds and thousands upon thousands of things that must be said yet. And I just kind of run a little stream down through there to kind of tie a few things together that we can at least think on it. Great is the mystery of godliness, and I'm a steward of the mysteries. And Paul said, my much revelation that's been given to me, much revelation. But I now shall come to revelation in two visions. Let's stand together. You've been real good and patient. Just a few little things that might stir your ego. A few of the brethren here and there that we've talked to, open their understanding a little more. In conversation, if you happen to talk with them, you'll be able to fit a few things together a little better, but they won't be over your head. Child is getting his eyes open. Remember, you're already in heaven. Second heaven? No. You've been in the second heaven ever since Calvary. What heaven then are you in? Your spiritual man, body, soul, and spirit. That's third heaven. And that man is already there as to the quickening spirit. And you will recognize that at the change when the second dimension is over. And we're right down to the end of that right now. And a lot that we could say is to elaborate on that. Well, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Appreciate you. Love you. Trying to do our little bit, because we also have to stand before God. You have to stand before God. I have to stand before God. And you have to give an account. You that follow my ministry or the ministry of Christ in my heart, as a shepherd to the chief shepherd, I have to give an account. I have to present you to God. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm a minister. You don't have to present me. Oh, yes. You came up under somebody's minister. They're going to have to present you. Hear that sheep. So then that means that we just do the best we can. Maybe one night we'll bring out how fuddled up the things are concerning the concept of righteousness. And it's not at all like people think it is. Not at all. Even like ministers as an average preacher. But let's sing this little chorus together, can we? He was wounded for my transgression, and he was bruised for my iniquity. Surely he has sorrows forever unbound. His stripes I am healed. Can you sing that with me now? He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for your tears. Surely he has borne my sorrows forever and by his stripes you are healed. I'm a prisoner of love, a slave to my master. I willingly toil through the heat heat and the cold. I seek no reward in this world below. For payday will come to me when the pearly gates unfold. Can you sing it again? We're a prisoner of love, a slave to the master. We willingly toil through the heat and the cold. We seek no reward in this world below, but payday will come when the pearly gates unfold. Let's sing a little chorus or two and we'll let you go. Sweeter each day, grows sweeter each day is love. It grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear my Savior say, my love grows sweeter. Can you sing that with me? Growing sweeter each day, growing sweeter every day. This love grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear my Savior say, this love grows sweeter each day. Let's sing this little chorus. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed face and aglow with His light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, gems in His crown to shine. So they came from the east and the west, and they came from the far to feast with the King, to dance His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, behold His hallowed face, and the glow of divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace,